From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
The Central African Republic has been all but forgotten by the international community. Many have never even heard of the country. Over the last few months, however, the Central African Republic has been plunged into crisis. And with me now for today's underreported segment is Nicholas de Torrente, Executive Director of Doctors Without Borders, which has just released its top 10 list of underreported humanitarian stories of 2006. The Central African Republic is on that list. And we hope to be joined soon by Ake Ebore, Project Coordinator for Doctors Without Borders in the Central African Republic. We are having a little trouble reaching her because she's in a small village in the northwest of the country called Bogila, but we assume that it's going to happen soon. Nicholas, you, as I said, included the Central African Republic as one of your top 10 most underreported humanitarian stories of 2006. Why do you think it hasn't gotten much mention in the press? I never even see it in those little clips that the New York Times has when they cover the world.
Well, Leonard, I think recently there's been a little bit more interest in what's going on there because of its proximity with Sudan and Darfur. Central African Republic borders Sudan and borders Chad, and we've seen the growing problem of Darfur kind of merging with existing rebellions and civil wars, both in Chad and in the Central African Republic. There's kind of a regional dimension now that is attracting a bit more attention. But I think you're right. It's a country that's been all but forgotten on a continent that overall still receives very little media coverage, Africa.
So there's a spillover factor, but there also was a problem already in existence.
Absolutely. There's been political instability and rebellion in the Central African Republic for many years now, and it actually accelerated in 2006, late 2005, early 2006, particularly in the area where Ake is working, the northwestern part of the country, where people who are allied with the former president have started a rebellion, a guerrilla movement, and very typically the army of the current president in Bangui has responded with counterinsurgency tactics that have basically targeted the civilian population, displaced them, and created a lot of humanitarian need, fear in those areas.
So can you tell us a bit about the Central African Republic? Was it a former British or a former French colony?
No, it was a former French colony. It's a small country, landlocked. About 3.5 million people live there. And actually, the French interests in the area are still very strong. There's a political and military pact between the government in Bangui and the French. And the French actually were... the French army was involved recently in attacking... the northern part of the country, where a rebel group allied and seen to be sponsored by Sudan made an incursion and attacked the territory of the Central African Republic. They hit the area, a town called Birao, with warplanes and bombed it. So a military action that was undertaken to support the very weak government in Bangui.
Ake Ebore joins us now from Bogila, in the northwest of the Central African Republic. What's Bogila like, Ake?
It's a very small village in the northwest of the Central African Republic.
And is this where a lot of the citizens who are being affected by the crisis have gathered?
Absolutely. In this whole region here in the northwest, there's a lot of displaced people. Most of them live actually in the forest. And they try to access healthcare, for example, here in Bogila, where Médecins Sans Frontières is now running the hospital.
You say they live in the forest. What does that mean?
That means that their villages, which used to be alongside the road, have been burned, and out of fear for any action that could happen, they have fled into the forest, mostly between 2 to 15 kilometers from the roadside, there where also their fields are, and they have created some shelter to live there while waiting for better times.
And how long has this been going on?
Well, this has been going on for several years. Médecins Sans Frontières has been here for the last year and has been able to give help since then.
Well, since its neighbors, the neighbors of the Central African Republic, also are experiencing crises, these people can't go to refugee camps across the border, can they?
Actually, part of the population of the Northwest here is also in a refugee in Chad. But most of the people actually prefer to stay here, even though they live in the forest, but to try to work on their fields and have some food security still going here.
Are there refugees from the Sudan and Congo in the Central African Republic?
In other parts of the countries, yes, but here in this area, at the moment, no.
So we were talking about this as a political crisis. Who are the rebel groups?
There are different rebel groups. Some identify themselves, some not. It's difficult to say. There is a lot of different armed groups and that are fighting amongst each other.
And are they fighting over natural resources, as is so often the case in these crises in Africa, or is this simply a political matter?
Well, that is difficult for us to say. We try not to get involved exactly in the political matters around conflict.
But you know if there are diamonds or oil or valuable woods in an area that are a basis for some of these conflicts.
That's correct. There is known to be diamonds in this country, so that could play a part in the conflict, possibly. But again, I'm not exactly sure on all the reasons.
Do you know why the rebels are bothering civilians?
The different armed groups are putting a lot of fear for the populations while they're fighting with each other, as it all happens in the region where they live. So this is why they flee, being scared to become part of it.
And what kind of infrastructure is there in the Central African Republic? Are the roads good? Are there good telecommunications?
Let's say around the capital there are some decent roads, tarred roads. But here where we are, that's about 400 kilometers north of the capital, Bangui. There we drive about 300 kilometers on dirt roads into the more remote areas, and there are definitely no phone or other possibilities or electricity or anything like that is definitely not available in this area.
So just 400 kilometers from the capital and you're really in a wilderness situation.
That's correct, yes. It's actually an 11-hour drive from the capital, so you can imagine what the roads are like.
Nicholas, are people in the Central African Republic receiving much aid?
Well, one of the reasons why we put out this list is to attract more attention to places that where we feel that there's a grave humanitarian need, a serious problem, and where in fact more is needed on the assistance side, and also more is needed in terms of political attention to try to, you know, deal with the causes of some of the immediate causes of the humanitarian problem. And I think in the Central African Republic, clearly, it is not featured highly on the agenda of aid agencies either. And there a lot more is needed in terms of assistance to these people in difficult conditions. As Aki is saying, this is a difficult place to work. It's been insecure for our teams. We've had to interrupt mobile clinics that go out and try to reach the displaced people in the forest areas, for instance, on numerous occasions because of security risks also to our teams. So it's difficult to work there. It's difficult to report there for journalists as well. But we feel that, you know, some of these obstacles could be overcome with more commitment, with more willingness, and with more resources for humanitarian organizations to bring more assistance that is needed for the people there.
Are there other humanitarian groups working there now?
Well, maybe Aki can comment on that. I think there are a number of other organizations that are working. The UN system is there, but probably not in the numbers and with the activities that are actually needed to meet the needs.
Is that true, Aki?
Yeah, that's correct. Over the last year, there have only been a very few actors up in the north here. Luckily, we've seen an increase over the last month. Different organizations have shown more interest, but there is definitely a lot more aid needed here. At the moment, it's only three actors up here that can help the people.
Do you feel safe?
Luckily, we have a lot of security plans in place to make sure that we can stay here, but definitely we're in an insecure environment and we're always alert to everything that happens around us.
And what do you mean by security? Do you have to have armed guards protecting you while you're doing humanitarian aid?
No, definitely not. That's not what we consider for us security. We try to be in close contact with the population to understand what is happening around us. And due to MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, principles of neutrality in a conflict, we're able to stay neutral and be able to be here without being affected ourselves directly by the conflict.
Well, if you had all the resources you could hope for, what needs to be done there?
Attention for these people who are living in very poor conditions. We're able to give a certain amount of health care, but food security is a problem, water is a problem, people don't go to school anymore because of the conflict, and so forth. So there is a lot of need. People have, at the moment, no basic coverage anymore. They're displaced, they're in fear, so everything that a normal person would need, they have been deprived of.
Do you know whether MSF has a presence throughout the entire country, or is it mostly where you're located because that's where the most serious crisis is?
No, we're actually expanding our activities at the moment. As was mentioned before, in the northeast at the moment also the conflict flared up, so we have recently been able to do an exploratory mission. And we will also be starting health services in the northeast. So really the whole northern car is at the moment an area of problem.
Okay, thank you so much for participating in today's underreported segment. I've been talking with Aki Boere, B-O-E-R-E, of Doctors Without Borders, MSF. And we spoke to her from Bogila in the Central African Republic. And this is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Also with me now is Nicholas De Torrenti, who is the executive director of Doctors Without Borders. I hope you don't mind if I use the English because my
Absolutely.
French pronunciation is always so awful. And I mentioned earlier that you produce this top 10 most underreported humanitarian stories of each year. This one has been included in the 2006 list. How do you get attention for a place like the Central African Republic, which most people haven't even heard of? When you say this is a major crisis, they say, I don't even know where this country is. What do you do?
Well, that's the problem we're trying to tackle. And this list is really a device to try to attract more attention to what's going on. Of course, it's difficult getting on this show. For instance, is a good thing. We're talking about the Central African Republic. We're talking about the other nine crises that we've included this year, and that's what that this is what we can do. We can try to get to use the list as a tool to get a little bit more media attention there. But it will require as well journalists going. It will require media outlets taking a little bit of a broader view of what is important. I mean, from our point of view, you know, the gravity, the magnitude of these problems themselves warrants attention. There are also connections between what's going on in the Central African Republic or in other crises. We talk about Congo or Somalia. Somalia's just made the news, so it's been on our list for a while. But there are connections between what's going on in these crises and what's happening in the United States and in the Western world. So there are. We need to take the media needs to take a bit of a broader view, in terms of looking at problems around the world. And you know, people ask us to talk about them when we are in Central African Republic or other places. People do ask us to try to get more attention to their plight because it's one way of trying to improve what's going on there.
Well, that's why we have this underreported series on our show. Because we discover that there are so many stories that aren't getting reported. But I always wonder why we focus on one and not another. For example, the Central African Republic borders on Congo, and we've heard a fair amount of about what's happening there, and also borders on Sudan, where right now most people have been paying attention, especially Darfur. Is there a crisis du jour problem that the MSF has to deal with?
Well, yes. I mean that is a problem. The media attention is fleeting. I mean it's linked very much to political developments. I mean for instance, to underscore what's happening in Somalia today, of course, the political developments are very important and they deserve media attention, and there is some. But, I mean, the problems of Somalia have been going on for years. Somalia has been included on our list because of our work there and what we see and the perceived mismatch between that and what has been reported has been included on our list since 1999. So the problems of Somalia have been going on for a while. There is an issue of maintaining media attention, of having media attention that also unpacks and understands what's actually happening rather than treats things superficially, and that looks at the human side of things and not just the political and diplomatic developments. Those are things that we're interested in as a humanitarian organization.
Well, what does it even mean when people do pay attention? I've seen T-shirts and big ads on the sides of New York City buses that say, save Darfur, but Darfur remains in crisis.
Well, absolutely. And we have to be very clear and also, about the fact that the media attention is not a panacea. It does not lead to immediate solutions. Darfur, this is why actually Darfur is not included on our list. The problems have actually continued to deteriorate in Darfur over the past year, but not for lack of media attention. It's really more the political developments there and the lack of solutions on the political side that have led to deterioration, but not for lack of media attention.
Well, you have a list of 10, but I suspect, just knowing from what I know in preparing these segments, there are more than 10 underreported crises in the world. So how do you choose which one are your top 10?
There's clearly a subjective element here. I mean, it's based on where we are working, what our teams are saying. And so there are places that we're unfortunately no longer work in, for instance, Afghanistan, that could actually, some of it, what's going on there could be considered as part of this list. So there's a subjective element. It's where we're working, our experience. And then we try to combine that with some objective analysis of news coverage. And we rely on the report by Andrew Tyndall, who looks at the coverage. And we look at the mainstream news channels, the nightly news, and of our 10 stories, out of 14,000 minutes of nightly news last year in the United States, all of our 10 stories only garnered 7.2 minutes of coverage. So that just gives us an indication that we're not wrong in including these 10 stories, but we could have a top 20 list, a top 30 list. I think you're absolutely right.
And what are the top 10 stories?
Well, we have conflicts in Africa. So I mentioned Somalia. We mentioned the Central African Republic, mentioned the Democratic Republic of Congo, because the situation in the eastern part of the country remains very dire.
Despite the fact that the elections went off and the kind of civil war that was predicted hasn't, at least at the moment, broken out.
Yes, but the... But the situation, especially in the eastern part, and the action of armed groups there, both the National Army and the different rebel groups that continue to operate there.
That's the spillover from Rwanda and other crises, Uganda?
Yeah, in part, and also indigenous to that area. That situation is persistent, and the plight of the people who are in that area continues to be very, based on our work there, and sexual violence in particular, continues to be very, very serious. So we've continued to include the Congo in our list. We have two conflicts closer to home, I would say. We have what's going on in Haiti, which is just a couple hundred miles from the United States, where there's been really relentless ongoing violence in Port-au-Prince, in the capital, that has not improved despite the successful elections of last year. Colombia, 3 million internally displaced in that country, and continuing war. We have the situation in India. I mean, India, of course, gets a lot of media attention. We've focused on a few forgotten conflicts inside of India. In central India, last year we focused on Assam and Manipur in the east, which are really, I mean, virtually no one knows about what's happening inside of India. It's such a big country and so complex, but there's actually political violence and leading to displacement of people and so on in the country. Chechnya, which has fallen off the map as well. And then we've included two medical topics. One is tuberculosis. 9 million people affected a year, 2 million deaths, very little urgency in really tackling this to the scale that it's at, and the treatment of malnutrition. We have new advances in treating malnutrition, and we think that they could be much more widely implemented and to save really millions of kids. So those two are medical topics are we've included as well.
Would MSF work in the United States, for example, after what happened in New Orleans?
Well, we actually considered it. We sent an exploratory team to assess the situation, but we didn't feel that we had much added value there, considering the number of groups who are operating are effective and have a much stronger presence inside the country. And we're focusing our resources more on places where the crisis has very few responders, such as places like the Central African Republic. But the situation was serious in New Orleans, no question about it.
Now, Aki made the point more than once that you don't get involved with politics, but sometimes it's impossible not to, isn't it?
Well, obviously, I mean, there are political causes for all of these problems, and just trying to intervene on behalf of people who are powerless, who are, victimized, who are neglected is, it gets involved in the politics of the area. Obviously, I mean, reaching out to the dispossessed is has a political impact. So,
well, can you deal with a humanitarian crisis without dealing with the political roots of the crisis? And in some cases, as we saw in Sudan in the past, unless you made a deal with the government, you couldn't bring aid to certain parts of the country.
Well, we have to deal with political actors and with armed groups all the time. I mean, Aki's talked about security there in the Central African Republic. What she means is that we have to be in contact with the government and the armed groups to allow us to have a basic acceptance of our presence and of our work. The reason why they're more likely to accept us and the reason why we can hopefully reduce the risks to our teams is by not getting involved in the politics and being staying outside of the conflict itself and really having only a humanitarian agenda. That's what helps us get access. So in that sense, we stay out of the big politics, the high politics of the area.
When will the top 10 list of 2007 be published?
Well, we have to monitor what's going on in 2007. It's at the end of the year, and we'll see what features on that list. But right now we have a lot of work on our plate.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, Nicholas De Torrenti, Executive Director of Doctors Without Borders, which has just released its top 10 list of underreported humanitarian stories of 2006. We also spoke early with Aki Bore, who's the project coordinator for Doctors Without Borders in the Central African Republic. And she talked to us from a little village in the northwest of the country called Bogila. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Leonard.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.